But overall, I agree with Sean. He creates content on YouTube under Actual Justice Warrior if you want to check out his content. But what he says there is totally true.
Greetings and salutations, loyal viewers of this channel. My name is Sean, and today I want to talk about this so-called mansion tax in the state of California and how a year in, it is essentially a resounding failure. And in fact, it had very many additional unintended consequences that nobody could have seen coming except for people who have paid attention to all of these schemes that they put forward in the state of California, who of course could have predicted that exactly what happened was definitely going to happen. Now, we're going to get into this, but before we do, I want to thank everybody who signed up over at actualjusticewarrior.com/join.
Give me the money. Give me the money. Okay.
And remind you that on Saturday, April 27th, in Austin, Texas, Vulcan Gas Company, I will be at Mines Fest. Link to tickets top of the description. Promo code AJW for 20% off. So in April of last year, California implemented the so-called mansion tax. Now, this was sold to voters as a way to punish those evil-doing rich bastards with their mega mansions, while simultaneously funding affordable housing projects, helping tenants fight against their evil landlords, and all this other nonsense. But like many other ballot initiatives that have been passed in the state of California, this one has completely backfired. The revenue promise has not been raised, and I'm going to explain to you in this video what exactly went down and why everybody should have been able to see this coming. So as the Washington Examiner reports, this was sold to voters as a tax on mansions. What the measure actually does, in reality, of course, is put a 4% levy on almost all properties sold between $5 and $10 million, and a 5.5% tax on properties sold for $10 million. These include not just large homes or mansions in Bel Air, but gas stations and commercial real estate, condominiums, and apartment complexes. So already, and I mean already, you should understand why this tax ended up resulting in less development of apartment complexes, which of course is the key thing that you need to do if you want to drive the cost of housing down. But if you don't know, if you're unaware, let me explain to you from the perspective of somebody who's about to marry a person who works in commercial real estate in New York. Well, essentially, the way that this works is that when you go over a certain number of units, and I believe in California, it's on average around 15 units, you hit over that $5 million threshold. The developer ends up building that up. They buy the land and all of that. And then eventually they're going to sell that project off to somebody else because the developer is not necessarily a property manager. But at that point in time, they're going to be subject to that new tax. And this has caused developers, by the way, in combination with higher interest rates, to realize that it's not all that profitable to build in Los Angeles. So of course, the result of this proposal is that these very same types of construction projects that you absolutely 100% need, that were already incredibly difficult to build in the state of California due to laws like CEQA. By the way, Kirk Wilcox actually has excellent videos breaking down how this is the primary problem in the state of California. This is what's causing it to be so difficult for them to build affordable housing. And actually, the state of California puts out a report every 4 years or so that says that they need to reform CEQA, and they never do. Instead, they come up with scams like this. So these projects have completely and utterly collapsed in Los Angeles. Now, of course, this has discouraged lenders from offering mortgages on and developers from building the very multifamily projects, like I said, that you need. And since 2/3 of the homes, single family in Los Angeles, their asking price is $1 million, working class families often have to rent these very same buildings that are no longer being built at alarming rates in order to actually live in the city of Los Angeles. Now, if you're not aware that these multifamily type dwellings are where the nation is going, especially in unaffordable places like California, take this fact. Nationwide from 2022 to 2023, these kind of permits ended up dropping due to interest rates by 19%. Now, in the state of California specifically, they only dropped by 5%. So even with the interest rates and all of that going on for the state of California, even with all the restrictions related to CEQA, they still were below the national average statewide in terms of these permits actually being applied for and being issued. That being said, in Los Angeles, which again is a city with a housing crisis, the only distinction is that they passed this mansion tax. they dropped a lot higher, more closer to the national average. In fact, above the national average. So in Los Angeles County, they dropped by 19%, which is the equivalent to the national average and way higher than the state of California overall. And Los Angeles, the city, they dropped by 24%. Higher than the national average. Now, the other thing that I want to point out to you guys is that there was two prongs to this. They were going to tax the mansions. And you know what? If these mansion people, you know, they're not going to build or develop, it doesn't matter because they're going to raise so much money, unbelievable dollar amounts in order to build affordable housing, in order to help tenants and all of that. And remember, when this started, they were pledging that they were going to raise about $672 million to $1.1 billion in a single year in these mansion taxes. So you know what? You're not going to build apartments over 15 units. So what? Nobody cares because they're going to raise all that money and the taxpayer is going to do it for you. Except when the receipts actually came in, they ended up raising $215 million. And in fact, while nationwide, these 5 million plus homes sales fell by 19%, in the city of Los Angeles specifically, they dropped by 68%. Almost 70% of sales just completely evaporated, and this has caused the tax receipts that they expected, of course, to completely collapse. Now, this is an infinitely foreseeable process, and in fact, this is something that always gets brought up anytime Democrats and Republicans argue about taxes. And this is, the Democrats will say, this is how much this behavior could have been taxed based on a previous year. So if we raise this tax, we're going to earn this much money because that's just basic math. This is called flat scoring. I forgot the exact word, but don't worry about it. Now, the flip side of that flat scoring model that you'll often see presented by Democrats in terms of tax increases or tax decreases is what is called a dynamic scoring model. And this is what Republicans often put forward when they're arguing that their tax cut in the long run will actually generate more revenue, because what they like to say is that human beings are in fact human beings. They respond to incentives. And if you put an increased tax on something, that's going to change behavior and possibly generate less revenue. And if you decrease taxes, that will also likewise change behavior and often generate more revenue. And a good example of this is the corporate tax cut. If you look at the chart right here, yes, tax receipts did initially dip after the tax cut was passed, but as you see, they actually jumped well above the Congressional Budget Office estimations after the year 2020. And this is because if you make it more tax advantage to take your profits in the corporate tax model, you'll actually have more companies moving in that direction. And again, this is an obvious victory for dynamic scoring over flat scoring. And by the way, it's not like the Democrats are immune to using dynamic scoring. In fact, when they talk about the benefits of immigration, they often talk about it in a dynamic scoring type of model. And then all of a sudden, the Republicans use a flat scoring that only talks about the loss of revenue that we spend on these people. So both parties can be incredibly dishonest with how they're scoring tax rates, immigration costs versus benefits, and all of that. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to tax rates, the proof in the pudding is in the taste, but they're not making that pudding in California and Los Angeles anymore because it's been taxed to hell. Now, of course, there's always going to be denial. So supporters have actually bragged that the legislation has funded $23 million on eviction protection and tenant outreach and $28 million to distressed tenants and landlords. And while that look over there kind of strategy might sound good to some people out there in the audience, some people who are going to continually vote Democrat no matter what, I should point out that none of those policies have anything to do with reducing the cost of rent, reducing the cost of housing. And in fact, you could argue that adding additional protections on the tenant side end up, of course, raising the cost of housing, raising the cost of rent. I mean, California is a state that is already dealing with similar squatting problems as New York City and other left-wing states that make these housing units that could be rented, could be out the market, essentially out of commission, raise the cost for the landlords, which raises the cost for other people's rent. So the idea that you would point to this, that you're adding more additional protections to tenants on top of that, making it harder for landlords to do business, making it less likely that people invest in housing, that actually might be causing the problem to get even worse, in addition to the problems that the tax rates cause, which also objectively make the problem worse. Now look, I know I'm screaming into the abyss whenever I talk about this issue, because let's be real, a lot of right-wing people watch my channel that are already likely to agree with me. But the thing is, What makes housing unaffordable are government regulations that make housing unaffordable. One of the things that they need to fix in Los Angeles is the fact that they have an extremely high percentage of their city zoned only for single family housing. I believe it's the highest in the country, somewhere around 70%. And the fact of the matter is, if 70% of the residential area, you can't build apartments, you can't be surprised that the price of housing skyrockets in your particular area. There's also statewide things like CEQA. Again, I'm going to link Kirk Wilcox's video in the description of this where he breaks down how the state of California produces reports almost every other year or every 4 years saying we got to do something about CEQA. And the fact of the matter is, when you see other cities with little to no zoning regulations, you find out that they are among the most affordable cities in the entire country. I always point to Houston, which is the fourth largest city in the United States of America. It is one of the few cities that is known for incomes outpacing the price of housing. And that's because Houston has no zoning regulations. They just don't. Now, there's problems with Houston. It's not perfect, but you need to get somewhere between California, which has some of the most restrictive building requirements, and the city of Houston if you want housing to be more affordable. None of these schemes, none of these projects ever come to fruition, ever lower the price of housing, because the problem is, in fact, the government. They're the ones creating the issue, and the fact of the matter is, you need to fix that problem at the root if you want people to actually be able to afford to live in your city. All of these affordable housing projects are absolute scams. When the government builds housing, as we saw with them trying to build one-bedroom apartments for homeless people, the costs explode exponentially, get up to about $800,000 per unit. And of course, they're almost never going to be built. Maybe in 2055, they'll eventually finish that one apartment complex. But the thing is, they're counting on revenue streams from things like the mansion tax that are at a third to a fifth of what was promised. Look, the fact of the matter is, and I know this is going to sound crazy, I know it might sound a little too oversimplistic, but what you need to do if you're in Los Angeles, if you're in San Francisco, if you're in New York City, if you want people to be able to have more housing, is to let people build more housing. You need better NIMBY protections, because in California, you have all these people based on open space requirements and all these other things voting against the development of all these different housing complexes. There was one CEQA horror story that I will never forget where somebody filed a lawsuit against this company or developer that was trying to build.
In preparing for this race, I talked to a lot of developers and contractors, and the stories they told me, Larry, I had a 2,000 home development project all ready to roll. I got sued. I cut it down to 1,000. I got sued. I cut it down to 500. I got sued. Now it's 200 homes 22 years later.
22 years had passed. 22 years. Two decades plus 2 years had passed before they adjudicated that lawsuit. And that was just a random jerk that was suing that particular developer because he didn't like the shape of the housing complex. He thought it was going to impact the environment, hurt the turtles, whatever the hell reason that they allow people to sue developers randomly. This guy decided to file suit against that. I mean, one of the craziest stats that I learned is that I believe the city of Los Angeles or the city of San Francisco, I don't remember exactly which, builds less housing per population than the city of New York, which is also already regulated out the wazoo, which is also incredibly corrupt in their system. But the thing is, the city of New York has enough corruption that buildings tend to get built at twice the rate adjusted for population as the city of Los Angeles, twice the rate. And it's still unbelievably unaffordable. And you're wondering why the price of housing in LA is going absolutely crazy. You're wondering why the price of housing in San Francisco is going absolutely crazy. And as this happens, as people feel more and more pressure, as the prices go up, they're going to constantly vote for more and more tenant protections because they think that is the solution and the developers are their enemies. But in reality, in actuality, it is the very government offering you protection that is in fact your enemy. On top of that, it's also the well-connected developers that don't have to deal with competition, the well-connected established landlord companies or landlords that don't have to deal with the new people coming into the market to compete with them that are on the side of preventing building from happening. On top of that, it's also homeowners, because if you already own a home in the city of Los Angeles, in the city of San Francisco, your property values are going through the roof. And that's because you're using using your power to vote to essentially attack other people who would move to your city, would move to your state, future residents, which I honestly think is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. The idea that you can attack other Americans from moving into your city, drive up the cost for them in order to keep your lot in life, I find to be absolutely disgusting. So yeah, obviously, this ended up backfiring. Obviously, this ended up failing. Anybody could have told you that. In fact, I will link an article from the day that this was implemented where somebody made the case that this very same thing was a giant empty promise, but California is predestined, essentially, to keep going down this route. Now, those are just my thoughts. I want to know what you guys think down in the comments below. If you like this video, then show them by leaving a like. Subscribe for more content. Follow me on my social media. Support me via the support links in the description of this video. This has been me talking about the absolute madness out of Los Angeles. Till next time.